7654321.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother.
Welcome, friends, to episode 15 of Color of Magic. I'm your host, Taquan Watson, and as always, we have my man Brian Allen riding shotgun. How you doing today, dude?
Hello, hello. Doing good. How are you doing?
I am doing well, considering how crazy busy I've been these last few weeks. But, man, it's been kind of exciting. We have a lot of stuff happening. I know you've got stuff happening even on social media and some of your projects, so we've got a lot to talk about today.
Our Allen's Ever After family YouTube channel just hit 100 subscribers. Woo, woo.
That's exciting to have 100 subscribers. I know my YouTube channel over there, I think right now only has like 27 or something. So you're kicking my butt.
Well, it's crazy how it just like certain numbers, you know, once you hit them, it starts moving. Because for a while we were at, you know, 9 or 10 and it just wasn't moving. Then every 5 or 10, and now that it's over 100, I mean, I think it hit 100 December 25th. So now we got to do 100 subscriber video. And we gained another 20 subscribers before we filmed the video 2 or 3 days later. So it's wild.
Yeah, I think that's kind of...
Besides, they like you.
Yeah, I think that's kind of how it works. You just start picking up momentum, and then you start hitting that algorithm where they start recommending you more and more, and then it starts taking off like a rocket. So as for myself, I have started putting more stuff over on YouTube. So I have some of Magic videos over there where you can see some of the streaming and some of the decks I've played on Arena. So some Magic play videos are there. I also have some reviews I've been doing of different apps and items that can save people money or that are really good deals that people just want some information on. So I'm going to continue with that. And that's been going well. I've been getting like 100 views, a bunch of likes on some of those. So not bad for really pushing it for 2 or 3 weeks. So I'll take it.
People love saving money. I mean, it's...
Oh, yeah. I mean, and that's sort of what got me thinking about it is, you know, there's a lot of things out there where people are skeptical and you see a lot of stuff promoted on like Facebook or Twitter. So I'm like, you know what? I'll take a chance on this for $30 and do a review. And people responded to it. The other thing is that I am now in the home stretch of the 60-day challenge.
Oh, yeah. What day are you on now?
Today, by the time the listeners get this, it will be day 54. So I have about a week left, which is wild, man. And it's a weird feeling because on the one hand, I've been kind of like, man, you know, this is going to be a long way to get to 60. But even people in my chat have been like, man, I'm kind of sad this is going to be over.
That's a good thing. You know, you always want to leave them wanting more, as they say.
Yeah, and I'm going to be doing a lot, too. I already have my schedule made up. I'm going to go to a Monday, Tuesday, Thursday schedule, with Monday being more kind of beginner content. So I'm going to be covering decks from the weekend that have done well to explain, like, why they were good, especially if there's a new deck, helping people with deck ideas or deck lists if they want it. Because I have a lot of new people that have been coming into my stream, so kind of giving a day where a lot of that can be addressed. I'll still be playing some games, but there'll be other information focused there. And then I'm going to keep Tuesday as my variety day. So if I'm going to play Historic on Arena or I'm going to play Brawl, it'll probably happen on... Well, I can't play Brawl on Tuesdays because, you know, yeah, I'll play on Wednesdays.
How dare you?
But if we're going to play other things, it'll be that day. Also, when I do my box openings, when I go through my collections that I buy, stuff like that, that's all going to be on Tuesdays. And then Thursdays will just be really focusing on the Arena ladder and doing that on Thursday. So I'll have content for everybody.
And I have heard people say that 3 days is, I guess, like the, especially at the beginning, is probably the ideal schedule.
Yeah, it seems like it. You see a lot of people that are longtime streamers that kind of fall into that.
Because it gives you consistency, but it also, you know, you it leaves people wanting more because it's only 3 days. It's not every day.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I'm going to talk a bit about. I've reached out to, we were talking about this off the air. I don't want to throw names around because it may not, the deals may not happen. But I've reached out to some other content creators that do a bit of streaming or talk about streaming. And I'm going to put content up regardless, but I'm going to see about working with them to put up some to kind of use my 60 days as a case study, so to speak, because there's a lot of things I learned from day one to day 60 that I think a lot of people are failing at, which is one of the main reasons I'm going to be doing a video on that. Hopefully it'll be up by the end of January. I don't know how long it's going to take me, because technically our 60 days isn't even over until next week. Plus we'll have Theros content or whatever that we got to cover. But once that's all done, I want to have that up as just like evergreen content. So when people are looking at starting, here are actual things that will help you. Not like, oh, this is how you can get sponsors and then how you can do this. And it's like the average person doesn't have that capability, but I can help you get from maybe, you know, 20 or 50 followers up to 200 or 300. I know how to do that. Get you started.
And again, people love those videos.
Oh yeah. So I actually ended up getting, now I'm at 320 some followers, which is great. Considering when we started the 60 days, I only had 100. So that's pretty cool. But crazy, check this out. I have over 30 subs right now.
Nice.
Now, I will admit, part of that is because I had somebody go crazy and start gift subbing people. But then I have a couple people now that have started just resubbing because their month has come up.
That's how you do it. You get them, you know, it's a habit.
Yeah, so it's crazy, man. There's just so much stuff out there. So yeah, let's move along to other business. To our, what did you learn this last week?
You know, I found out that one of my all-time favorite TV shows, Scooby-Doo, I don't know if you knew this, but did you know that the human characters in Scooby-Doo are based on an old sitcom, The Many Loves of Dobie Gillis?
No.
And I love, it figures it, because I loved Dobie Gillis, and a lot of people have probably never heard of that show. Go look it up. That's actually where Bob Denver got his start. It has a lot of conventions that, you know, current sitcoms still use. Like the main character would stop and talk to the camera the same way Zach Morris used to.
Dude, that is so random.
Yeah, it had one of the first, you know, kind of Fonzie type breakout characters in Maynard G. Krebs, who was played by Bob Denver. You know, a lot of people probably don't know he had a career before being Gilligan. But yeah, those characters are based on the character. The crazy thing is, you know, I think Dobie Gillis ran maybe 3-4 years. Scooby-Doo has never been off the air.
That is crazy. I mean, that's a cool thing to know, honestly. That's a good inside fact. I like that.
It's a great thing about cartoons. They don't ever have to go off the air.
So I get to cheat a little bit because I had posed a question to people on both Facebook and Twitter, which I'm going to have another video of this coming out, by the way. It's a ranking of the serials that have the highest mouth obliteration rating.
I saw this.
The amusing thing is I started it out because I think it's universally accepted that Captain Crunch just tears your mouth to all hell. Like, it's the worst. By far the worst. So I was curious what other people's top choices were, since we all agreed on Captain Crunch. And by no surprise, the number two most mentioned cereal was Grape Nuts.
Oh, God, yeah. I just... I don't know who... Man, just if you've ever had any dental work, you can't be eating the Grape Nuts.
Grape Nuts is straight gravel. Like, I've eaten Grape Nuts before and, like, felt something weird in my mouth and thought I chipped a tooth.
I'm surprised you didn't. It's like, this isn't a cereal. This is a joke that someone is playing on it.
I seriously don't know why that's a cereal. I don't even know. There's no flavor to it. It's just like compressed bran. I don't even know what it is.
It doesn't taste like nuts. It's just a weird, like you said, the consistency of gravel, basically.
Yeah, so there was that. So that was my fun fact, though. However, anybody that's curious, feel free to go look that up on Facebook or Twitter. It's from the last couple of days. Feel free to add your comments to it. I will be turning that into a piece of content over on YouTube because it's super fun. I don't care if a ton of people view it or not. I think it's just going to be fun to do.
I'm excited about that one. That's going to be good. That mouth obliteration rating needs to become, that's the thing. That's my new garage band name, mouth obliteration rating.
I can appreciate that. We actually don't have any banned or restricted announcements this week. They ended up posting something on the 6th. There were no changes to the Pioneer band announcement, though some people thought there would be. They did, though, put up that there will be an announcement on the 13th. So, okay. Though we thought we were going to be stopping at the end of the year with these weekly Pioneer banding announcements, that is not the case just yet.
They're just gonna kind of sneak up on you. Look out, problematic cards. We're watching. We got eyes on you.
Yeah, and I don't know if this is good or bad. I think the format is still. I mean, I think people forget the format's still only what, 4 months old or something. So
it's a baby. It's just nothing.
Yeah, we're still trying to figure it out. So I don't mind it being in this stage right now. But I think sometime around maybe February or so, once we're kind of on a roll with Theros, then we just let things happen when they happen and then get everything aligned would be nice, I think. Let's see. We have a Grand Prix coming up. Man, there's like, it's funny. We went from like, it felt like no real news for a couple of weeks, and then it's like, boom, 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 there's things again.
That's how it works. It's, you know, it's never quite spaced out the perfect way. It's like nothing. And oh my God, everything happened.
Yeah. So after not having, I guess we had a Grand Prix before Christmas, and then now we're back on the grind. So this weekend there will be a Grand Prix in Austin, and it'll be modern format. So it'll be interesting because you don't really get to play with Theros yet, because that'll be a week from now. And I don't think anything major has changed in modern, but it'd be interesting to see. And I know I can tell you right now that whole area, especially Texas, Oklahoma, you know, are really, really big on modern. So it looks like it's going to be a pretty well attended event.
Oh yeah, and it's just Austin. Just any good excuse to go to Austin, I generally try to take, you know.
Yeah, for sure. I think a lot of people from outside the area look at Austin as being the Portland, Seattle, Vegas kind of Texas. It's the place people want to go.
And I want to get one of those shirts. It's like, hey, please don't move here from Dallas. We got enough.
Yeah, the only thing I will say is for those of you that are traveling to Austin, I recommend whatever you plan to do, go early. They do get random traffic at like 2 and 3 in the afternoon. Man. It's probably the one city in Texas where the as much as Texas spends on infrastructure, I think Austin expanded just so fast, the infrastructure changes, we're not able to keep up with it. So you do get a bit more congestion in Austin than you do in some other places.
Yeah, so that's, when you go from a little town to, oh crap, you know, South by Southwest.
That's true. South by Southwest as a whole has kind of become a mess down there. It's
a city cool. In and of itself when it actually happens, because it brings so many people.
Yeah, it started out as, okay, we're going to do this little, I say little, but you know, we're going to do this music festival, and it's going to involve a couple of bars, and it's going to be the thing, it's going to be kind of cool. And then, well, there's some people that are branching out and doing some movie stuff because they're shooting videos and stuff. So let's do that. And it's like, okay, well, what if we did some video game? Okay, well, what if we have these SiriusXM radio people come on? And okay, what if we do a comedian thing? And it's like, now it's like,
what if Beyonce dropped a new new joint this weekend? Just everything happens there now. It's crazy.
Yeah, and it's crazy because you're talking about a big chunk of the city isn't even officially involved with South by Southwest, but they're like scheduling things the same weekend just to be part of the festivities or whatever.
Some people just trying to get to work, you know.
For real, like the one of the earliest versions of clout chasing, you know, for before the trend became popular. Oh, speaking of events, there's another event we need to talk about this week. And if we can be serious for a moment, this is honest truth. This is a lot of people's favorite event of the year. I believe this is year 7. I'm gonna get this wrong. It's either 7 or 8, I think, this year of the Hunter Burton Memorial Open. And for those of you who don't know, Hunter Burton was a semi-pro player. He did well on the pro tour a couple of times. He was a good player. He was also a poker player. Hunter unfortunately, you know, took his life by suicide several years ago. And his family decided they wanted to do something to give back both to the Magic community, since that was a big part of Hunter's life, but also raise money for suicide awareness and prevention. So this tournament was kind of born out of, I say tournament, it's really an event now, was born out of this, which is cool because they've had increasing attendance every year, gotten more sponsors. You know, Wizards of the Coast has been a sponsor of it. Card Kingdom sponsored some stuff last year. I believe Ultra Pro gave some stuff. Panini, the sports card sponsor gave stuff. Some of the game industry distributors like PhD participated. I mean, just all kinds of companies give stuff to this. And there's a VIP dinner, a charity auction, lots of vendors. I mean, just tons of side events. It's a
phenomenal event.
Yeah, it's almost like a Grand Prix for 3 days, just, you know, parked in this in the middle of DFW. It's very, very cool.
It's an incredible event, and it's supporting a very important cause. So you trust me, you this is something you want. If you're anywhere near the area, or if you need to make a trip, this is the kind of event you want to make a trip to Texas for.
For sure. And I will also tell people we are expanding out this year. There will, I say we because I will be one of the commentators again. I was invited. I got to do commentary last year. I'll be back again this year. And I can't speak about stuff yet because deals are still in the works, but there will actually very likely be additional games added beyond Magic. And there'll be some other offerings that for people who aren't necessarily full-time card gamers, but still want to participate and still want to donate. There will be other things for them as well. I will say it's a very cool event. It's fun to do commentary at it. We do some interviews with people so they can speak about their issues with depression or, you know, how suicide has touched them. There's the way the venue set up is there are TVs all around the venue. So between rounds, when you're done, you can sit out and watch the events and the commentary live, which is very cool. The hotel is literally adjoined right next. You walk through some automatic double doors and you're right inside the hotel, which is awesome. I mean, the whole thing is set up very nicely. And I believe the guys from the Arena Decklist podcast, so Brian and Jerry, I think they're both coming back. They had a great time last year. They were excited about it. It's so many. And it's funny when you talk to people, the biggest thing you hear from people at that event is the mood is different. Nobody's being cutthroat. Like, everybody's super friendly. Everybody, when you talk to people, even the people competing are all there saying like, yeah, but I really like the cause, you know, and that's really awesome.
Yeah.
The other thing too, the big news this week, which they announced it, I believe on Tuesday, I also shared this on Twitter, which everybody picked up quickly and started retweeting. So I appreciate that. Thank you for helping get the word out, everybody. But this year, Saturday will be, the dates, by the way, are March 27, 28, 29. So there are some festivities that will be going on Friday. You can pre-register. You can come in and draft. They're trying to get a bunch of other stuff going, but I can't speak to that yet till it's officially announced. But it'll be March 27 to 29. Saturday, however, is the main event. It will be a 10K event, so $10,000 in prizes. Modern format. The winner will get a Players Tour invite. This has been confirmed by Wizards of the Coast.
Okay.
Yeah, that's, you're playing for real things now, which is really cool. And if you miss your shot on Saturday, you can come in on Sunday, and it's a 5K event, Pioneer format, and the winner of that will also get a Players Tour invite.
We got two invites in 1 weekend? What?
Yeah, so you get two shots at an invite. You get two shots at a prize pool of $15,000, and there will be tons of other stuff on the side as well. So it's going to be very, very active.
You could be like WWE Superstar Edge, get eliminated, then come back, cash in your money in the bank, and take another shot at the championship.
For sure. And it's two formats that are really popular right now that everybody likes. I would assume if these events don't sell out, they will be very busy. I believe right now, when I was last talking to Aaron Giddings, who's one of the main promoters of the event, they can seat 900, I think is the number, in the main event space. They have some side rooms that can hold several other hundred for, you know, drafts and everything else. But the main event, I believe, holds 900. So once they get everything up later, I think they were aiming for Friday, so probably by the time this goes up. If not, it should be next week. But they're trying to get the hotel code and everything up so people can just pre-register and do everything all at once so they can get a discount, book their rooms, do everything. And there's also, for those of you that can't make it, the website will also have a donation button. So if you want to donate to the cause, they pick a different cause every year, or at least they have in the past, that is in the space of suicide awareness and prevention. You know, so some of the stuff has been for like PTSD with the soldiers and stuff. There's been other charities they've done. But if you would like to donate, the website is HunterBurtonMemorialOpen.com. There's going to be more to come on that. And I'm going to speak with Aaron and see if we can have him on the show. And we just so we can do an episode about just mental illness, suicide, you know, because I mean, and you mentioned it off the air, Brian, like it's one of those things that we don't talk enough about. And we'll say colored communities in general, yeah. It's almost shunned. And it's something we definitely need to have.
For white people, we don't have time to get that. We're black. Well, you believe me, there's time and we get it.
Yeah, I agree. It's one of those things we don't talk enough about. So I would love to hope, let's say if we can get with Aaron, maybe the second week of February. So probably around episode 19 or so, we can have him on to speak about that. I mean, as much as we want to promote the event, it's really the cause that we're supporting that I want to get behind.
And as we said, when we started this podcast, we wanted to be, you know, the people to talk about some of the more serious issues that maybe a lot of people aren't discussing. And this is definitely falls into that category.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. And it's one of the, and it's funny because, man, I don't want to go too deep because it's obviously we'll cover it in another episode, but it's definitely a topic that it's so, what's the word? Like, ignored, I guess, that
yeah.
In our communities that you don't even realize there's no discussion about it.
And I mean, it's becoming more well known now. There's actually an episode of the History of Comedy that talks about it, but I didn't know when I started this career how many comedians suffer from some form of depression.
Oh, that's one of the things I learned because I told you at one point I almost bought a comedy club. As weird as that is. But when I was talking to several comedians, that was the thing that came up. You know, so many of them have some type of depression or mental issues or whatever, which leads them to comedy, actually.
Which, I mean, if you think about it, it makes sense because we talk about things, you know, like it wasn't funny when your girlfriend dumped you. You made it funny, you know, through lots of tears and struggle and many, many open mics, but these jokes are about things that, you know, you don't ever hear the comedian, I love my family. I get along with everybody. That comedian, that's not how comedy works.
That ain't how you sell tickets.
No.
But yeah, so we'll definitely do an episode about that coming up and want to talk more about the event for sure. I'm sure I talked to Brian Gottlieb about this through Twitter yesterday. It may have been yesterday or earlier today. And they're going to be talking about it on the Arena Decklist podcast as well. They're big fans. And honestly, this is the one event I can say where I don't know if I saw an upset player. Even somebody I saw just get two bad draws in a row, whatever, they still shook their opponent's hand. They were super friendly about it. I mean, we kick off the event with either Aaron or Hunter's mom giving a speech or a presentation. I give a speech. I give a speech. I was trying not to cry last time in front of people. I mean, yeah, it's just a different mood, a different type of event. I recommend anybody, if you want to get a feel for what type of event it is, they have a Twitch page you can go look at. It's also Hunter Burton Memorial Open. And more importantly, when you watch it, watch some of the interviews I got to do with people. Where we spoke with there was this Asian lady. She was there. She doesn't even play games. She was there supporting the cause because she just knew some people there, and she lost her son to suicide. You know, we talked to a gentleman who, and this one here's interesting because what I do is I go around and I ask people, hey, would you like to be on camera? Do you have a story to share? You know, whatever. And so people have a chance to speak up or tell their story. And this, and I don't even know their full story, by the way, before we start talking. I ask them a couple of quick questions to kind of get the gist of it so I can help them get through the interview, but that's about it. Because there's so much going on that day and I'm bouncing between commentary and stuff. But this one gentleman gets on and he tells me about how he almost didn't even make it to event to the event because he almost drove his car into traffic.
Wow.
And man, I got to be honest with you. Like when you're sitting there interviewing somebody, especially a stranger, and they just drop that type of stuff on you, it is so hard. And anybody who knows me knows I'm a very calm person. I can get through most stressful situations, whatever. But that took like a couple of seconds for me to like rewire my brain real quick, you know,
yeah,
and try to keep a straight face of just like, man, you know, there was a couple of people we got done. I'm like, do you mind if I give you a hug? You know, like it was just a different mood, man. It was cool.
On in an environment, you never know what kind of stories you're going to get and how it's going to change your life.
Yeah. And last year, I wish I remembered the person's name. I feel bad that I don't remember. I believe they went by the nickname Princess something is their first name, their nickname. I don't remember their last name, but they won and they themselves actually had some issues with serious depression and stuff. So it was almost fitting to have them win the event or one of the events, you know, and that was just a good solid moment there too. So lots of stuff. It's just a great event all the way around. So support it if you can. Come down. We're probably going to do a live episode from there. Just so much stuff's going to be going on. Everybody should participate. It's a great event.
Yeah. And as we mentioned, you'll hear more as we get closer to the event.
So yeah, on a different note, as much as we promote everything else and other people, we've done a bad job of promoting ourselves. we kind of, and I think, and I don't know, maybe you can give me your perspective on it, but I don't want to do too much shilling, I guess, of things. Especially since we don't have a real sponsor right now.
I actually was going to do a pledge drive. You know, I had some tote bags and some John Denver CDs I was going to start passing out. So we're not doing that now.
Yeah. So we do, just as a reminder, when you go to the show notes below each episode, we do put in the TCG player link. So if you use that link, and you go buy and you buy cards, you're not spending any additional money. Just if you do your searches and purchases through that link, we do get a percentage back that will help us out for promoting, paying for the website, getting new equipment, you know, whatever, you know, helping us travel back and forth to events like the Hunter Burton Memorial Open. But we also still have our Patreon. So if you want to support us there, we're about to start doing some extra stuff over there for our Patreon members. So expect some things for the, I believe, 11 of you that are current patrons at the moment. And I'm also going to be posting a video specifically for our patrons at least once a month that will be exclusive for them as well. So kind of giving some extra value to the people that are supporting us and doing what we can because, man, we're doing something different, and it's cool having people supporting us because we had no idea when we kicked this off how important this was going to be or how well people were going to respond, and we want to just put that out there and really support those people. But again, those are some sources you can help support us in addition to, you know, our social stuff that we post at the end of each episode.
That was, you know, I thought that was a good shill. As far as shilling goes, I felt, you know, that was, you know.
Well, yeah, you know.
It was. More defensive, I think it was.
Yeah, you mean we do have to pay bills, you know, like, but yeah. I don't want that to overtake the rest of the show sometimes. And don't begin. I am not. I want to say this up front. Like, I am not begrudging anybody else that kicks off talking about their Patreon or their website, whatever. More power to them. I have no problem. I believe me. I am an entrepreneur. I appreciate the hustle. It's just personal perspectives on what each show is trying to do is all.
Pardon me, I need to take a swig of my Diet Mountain Dew.
Yeah, exactly. And here's the other thing too. Not to say that I won't eventually be that way. I mean, if we have a sponsor and the agreement is, hey, you got to talk about us in the first 5 minutes of each episode or whatever, well, I'm going to make sure they get mentioned in the first 5 minutes of every episode. But
we are perfectly willing to tattoo brands on Daquan. So, you know, keep that in mind.
You know, funny you mention that. I don't have any tattoos currently, but I have.
That doesn't surprise me in the least.
Well, here's the thing. It's partly because I'm a little bit snobby. And I'll admit to this, right? I know really good artists. As a matter of fact, one of the best tattoo artists I know, to my knowledge. He has actually officially stopped doing tattoos. But I told him, when I decide what I want, I am going to pay for him to fly from Texas to Seattle to do a tattoo for me. Because one of the problems I have is I watch these tattoo shows and I see people when I go to these tattoo conventions and stuff. And man, some people just have some bad art.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's judgmental. And if, and again, if the person's happy with it, great. It's their body. But I'm being very selective, even for my first one. And I want it to be something that encompasses things I'm a fan of. You know, like if I were to get a tattoo right now, it'd be something to do with like gaming, Magic, the Dallas Cowboys, and something. But, you know, but that's important stuff. So, I mean, I don't know. But anyway, that's kind of a for real side
thing. Hey, Jerry, if you would like to pay Daquan to get a Dallas Cowboys insignia or something, there's a year ago.
For sure. But yeah.
Mike McCarthy for president or something. Done.
But yeah, I also want to pass that out there too. If anybody knows of any companies or you work with any companies that are gaming related, magic related, or just something that's supporting people in the POC space, we would gladly love to talk with them and have them be a sponsor of the show. Just putting that out there. The other thing we talked about last week was Theros previews, because probably, I would imagine, by the time this show goes live, we will see the entire Theros set. It'll be posted, which means it's time to do a Theros review. But
yeah,
we talked about it, and neither of us really wanted to do a 2.5-3 hour episode reviewing all of the key cards in the set, because that's a bit much.
Yeah.
I want to say thank you, because we actually had listeners respond on both our Discord channel and on Twitter. And everybody kind of just wants our opinions on which cards we like or not. So what we've decided on is we're going to pick at least 4, probably 5 categories. Most of them, a couple of them are going to be pretty silly. One or two of them might be serious. And we're going to pick our favorite cards in each of those categories to talk about and discuss. And that's going to be how we kind of treat Theros. We may talk about the art. We may talk about the story. We may talk about fun things we want to build around. It may just be some quirky things, but doing a different type of review show just so it's not the same old, since I'd imagine for the next, from probably from yesterday until the week after Theros comes out, it's going to be 3/4 of the Magic podcast going to have something in that space, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're going to make it pretty fun. It's going to be something a little different, so you can look forward to that. That will be next week's episode, so... and then after that, we'll get back to normal business and we'll have a guest on the show so we can talk about some other stuff. That'd be very, very, very fun. So, yeah, good stuff all around, man. This is I got a little emotional talking about the Hunter Burton Memorial Open, and then we're talking about sponsors. There's like so much stuff there that kind of got me going.
It's heavy stuff sometimes.
Yeah, so this week we want to do something a little different on Dinner Table Talk. We were thinking of different categories we could cover, and sometimes one of the things when you're doing content creation, as much as we talk about kind of the issue of the week or the thing that's come up that's, you know, popular to discuss, you do want some evergreen content. And in that space, we were talking about what if we discussed ways that in general we could promote the game better, but specifically what could Wizards of the Coast do that would be beneficial in the ways of advertising and promotion, and that would also get more people of color participating in the game. So we're going to go through some different ideas and some concepts here that we've kind of fleshed out a little and talk about kind of how we think they'll be beneficial, actually, that you don't see a lot of. So the first one we have is working with more schools, and particularly underprivileged schools, to promote the game. Because I know you and I both believe, you know, obviously going to schools is a good way to grow any product, because you get them when they're young. But underprivileged schools are always looking for other programs, and supporters and sponsors because they're usually underfunded.
Just a few episodes ago, we talked to some gentlemen that run a youth magic program in Hawaii. And I mean, it could definitely be kind of a model for what we're talking about
here. Yeah, those were the 808 guys out in Hawaii. Yeah. And I do think Wizards does help some schools when they put out a request or whatever. And, you know, there's a special event or something. So they... And that's the other thing, too. We're not going to say that Wizards of the Coast does nothing. That's not what this is about. This is just other things that could be done. And a lot of these are fairly low cost, too, which is also good. But one of the...
Do they have any kind of scholarship program or anything along those lines? I know some, for example, Blizzard did Heroes of the Dorm when they launched the Heroes of the Storm game, you know, to where I think whoever won the big tournament could actually win, you know, a full ride to college for a year or something like that.
Previously, they had this thing called the Junior Super Series. For those of you that remember, you have to kind of be old school because I think the Junior Super Series ended in 20, it might have been 2008. I don't know. It's been a while. But in that, they ended up, originally it was all one category, but then they broke it into two categories. I believe it was like 14 and under and then like 15 to 18 or something were the two categories or something like that. But They did nationals every year in Florida. I believe it was at one of the Disney facilities. You know, it was pretty well put together. Yeah, and the kids played for scholarships, and then of course you could get the scholarship when you turned 18. That whole thing. But from what I could tell, and even from my time at Wizards, I believe it came up a couple of times in discussion. As I think, just the implementation of it plus the paperwork and whatnot, it just wasn't something that was easily beneficial, I think, to the people at Wizards and the players. And then you got in kind of weird spaces where, like, what if a player won, but then they decided they weren't going to go to school immediately? You know, they want to do something else. How do you convert the scholarship into prize money, or did they end up not winning anything because of it? Like, there was all these scenarios, I think, that had to be addressed because of the way the prize was won and whatnot. But I do think there's other ways they could still be supportive.
Yeah.
Because one of the things we talk about a lot in Magic is that it teaches you critical thinking skills. It teaches you future planning. It obviously helps with math and percentages. So anything that could...
Social skills, as we've talked about previous occasions, helps with, you know, social skills and just interacting with people. And...
Yeah, I think that's a big one for a lot of people. You know, especially when you're talking as they're coming into their formative years from that, you know, 12, 13, 14 year old state, like that can set you up real good for high school and beyond.
Because as we've talked about, okay, all of us, you know, while I might want to try to play basketball, all of us aren't going to get, you know, that basketball scholarship. And certainly most of us aren't going to get to play in the NBA, but there's all sorts of other, like, there are so many things you can do in the realm of Magic. And not just talking about the pro tours. Obviously, we can't all be pro Magic players either. But you could, you know, you could work at your local comic shop or board game shop. You know, you could be a Twitch streamer, possibly.
I think what I would like to see is maybe a position at Wizards where, and maybe it's a group of people, some three or four people, that their job is specifically to hunt out some of these situations we're going to talk about, where they go and find some underprivileged schools in Detroit or Chicago or wherever and say, okay, cool, we're going to come in one day and do a Magic event and just give away a bunch of starter decks or something, or even just the Planeswalker decks. Or there's nothing valuable there, but just to get people started. You know, or... hell, collect all the draft leftovers that happen in the building and carry those with you. Yeah. And give those to a school group, you know?
And there's probably somebody at Major League Baseball that they could talk to about this, because baseball has realized that it has a problem with the, you know, not a whole lot of black people still watching the product and certainly not getting their kids into Major League Baseball. So they understand what we're talking about.
That's a good point. You know, can you reach out to other organizations and partner with them that are having similar issues, you know, and really get that going? So yeah, that's number one. Reach out, do more with underprivileged schools. I think there's a lot of opportunity there. The other is find players that are kind of coming up in their teens or young 20s in other games and just work with them and target them more. I mean, you know as well as I do that most gamers don't play one game.
For real.
And I can tell you from experience, even in my store when I had it, was most of the players, I say most, a large percentage of the players that started taking up the game, especially on a competitive level, started out playing other things. They were playing Pokemon or Yu-Gi-Oh, in some cases even Warhammer or whatever, because they saw everybody else playing or they saw people talking about it, and they were easy converts because they were already in the gaming space.
For old timers like us, they played WWF Raw Deal.
Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. Well, also, this is going to sound bad, but a lot of other games come and go every year. And
yes,
a lot of those players are basically displaced gaming communities because they played the Lord of the Rings TCG or the Star Wars TCG or one of the Fantasy Flight games that got discontinued or whatever. And they still want to be part of the gaming community. They're still people that spend money.
That's what happened to me. You know, for a long time, I played everything but Magic, including what Raw Deal, Versus System. I played Wizards, Xena, Warrior, Princess game. Leave me alone. I was a big fan.
Fair, fair. But ultimately, it's okay. I want a game that's not going to go away. I want a game with some history. Yeah. I want my stuff to have value. I want to be able to go to stores and find players whenever. Because some of those people also come from communities where, you know, if they get 8 to 10 people in their local store that play their game, that's a big deal. If you can get 4 to show up at the same time on a game day, great. So coming into a game where 8 is the low end, that's huge to them. So I think that's
one of the main things that really got me into Magic is because, hey, every Friday I'm going to be able to find a game. Multiple places in the DFW Metroplex I'm going to find a game.
Yeah, and one of the things we talked about, I believe when Nessa was on the show, so many other games, because they started a little later than Magic, have a more diverse community when they start. So one of the ways you can increase the diversity in Magic is convert some of those other communities. So why not go for it? Another thing on our list here is working with more conventions and events. And this is kind of a tough one because the events that Wizards goes to or participates in, they do a pretty dang good job. I mean, they set up nice booths. They have people. I even worked at one where I came up with a script to do 5-minute Magic intros for 4 to 8 people at a time. And then they had tables behind the booth set up with 2 or 3 people that were going around. And then, like, after I gave them their welcome decks, they were just hopping in and teaching people how to play right out of those with the rules we just gave them. And, nice. Yeah, we were turning people over all day. I mean, they have other events where they set up giant booths and, you know, they're doing stuff, you know, big events at those conventions. But what I'm looking at is just more of the small conventions that need that boost, that need the sponsor, need somebody to talk about them and help them build awareness. Or the ones that are on the fringes, you know, because I think that's also how you get the most loyal people. When they look back and say, man, remember when our event only had 400 people and yep. Wizards was the only big company that gave us even $400 for stuff to help us pay for one of the rooms for a day or whatever it was. Like, that's how you build brand loyalty. When nobody else cared, you're one of the people that stepped up. I think
we're nerds. None of us are going to go to a convention, play in a Magic tournament, and then once we're out, not stop and see what else is happening at the convention. That's not how we're wired.
I mean, have somebody there, you know? Talk about, like, honestly, like, we've talked about BlurredCon, right? Like, it's the black nerd convention. Like, that would be a perfect one. Now, granted, BlurredCon has gotten pretty big the last couple years, so maybe they don't necessarily need it. But it's one of the conventions, surprisingly, a lot of people don't know about. And if you want to get people to know that you care, like, that's a convention targeting a very specific community of gamers. You know, if you want to get their attention, that's one way to do it. And there's a lot of those. I mean, I live now in the Pacific Northwest, and I will tell you, and this isn't even an exaggeration, there is some type of geek event, if not weekly, at least bi-weekly. I mean, there are everything from swap meets for gamers to, you know, Emerald City Comic Con, Norwest Con, blah, blah. I mean, just so many. And now, to be fair, they probably don't need it here, but you'd be surprised how many of these events, like, the biggest companies in the area don't even sponsor or do anything at. Like, they could be the one if they wanted to be headline sponsor.
And the brand is big enough now where you can have a panel just talking about what's coming out. I mean, Magic has got, we're going to have a video game now. We're going to have a TV show. This is a global brand at this point.
Had a choice. And I were making the decisions at Wizards of the Coast. Or maybe even, I don't know, let's say even one of these big app companies is up here, or Microsoft, or even Card Kingdom for that matter, right? Let's say like Riot or somebody or whatever. I would probably sponsor every single event up in this area. Like, I would just have budget dedicated set aside that I'm going to spend some, let's call it $15,000 or $20,000 a year, whether it's buying ad space, sponsoring an event or a tournament, contributing something to the prize pool for something. Like, I would just kill it. And everybody in the region would know we support the geeks. No matter what your event, whatever your creed, your color, whatever, we got you. Like, I don't know why they don't, but I would. I don't. And again, if you're fighting for people, you want to get that diversity quotient up, there are events. I mean, don't get me wrong, I will say this. At least in the area, I mean, Wizards does sponsor, like, Geek Girl Con. They have done stuff there. They have done stuff with OrcaCon, you know, and these are known for, like, supporting women, supporting diverse communities, or the Native American community, stuff like that. Like, so they are at least hitting those now, which is nice. I just wonder if they could do it in other areas, because there's stuff all over the country now that's going on.
They could probably sponsor, you know, some kind of cosplay contest if they don't do sure. that already. I'm not aware of anything. If they do, then all means, you know.
Yeah, well, it's funny because that kind of goes into the next point we have here is, you know, sponsor more or endorse in some way more diverse promoters, streamers, and content creators.
And that's a thing that costs you no money. That's just real estate, you know, on your front page. So that doesn't cost you a dime to do.
Hint, hint, you know, we could still use some love over here.
Oh, I see what you did there. I wouldn't even see it. Promotion. Yeah, I see. Thank you.
In all seriousness, I mean, we're still fairly small. We're, you know, we're 2,000 episode or downloads or whatever per show. Or whatever. So I don't know what that's worth to them or not. But again, you want us to talk the crap out of you and speak a lot of love? Hey, you want to come at us early when we're growing? Great. But there's a lot of people out there. I mean, there's a lot of people producing videos. There's people on YouTube. And they do have a creator team that, I will be fair to them, there is a pretty good amount that if you see the people that have the sponsored tag, there's a lot of people that are, you know, there's women, there's trans people, you know, whatever. They are doing solid. I'm not saying, I think if of all the things we've listed, this is probably one they're doing a pretty good job at right now. But I do think there's still more to be done, because there's people that are tournament organizers, there are judges, there are writers, there's just a ton of stuff. And honestly, and it's not even just that they're sponsoring or endorsing them, it's just how you're doing it. Like, do more to highlight them. Share their stuff in emails and whatnot, so people know when those people are doing things or going to be on your main page. Or for that matter, on the Magic homepage, make sure those people are spotlighted. I would even put a section on the Magic homepage that's just like, hey, here's our showcased person, you know, this week or whatever. I mean, I think even that would be huge.
And you could time that with, you know, Black History Month, Asian American Heritage Month, and Hispanic Heritage Month, and so on.
You know, and I'm not even saying you have to, again, they don't have to completely shill or whatever for it, but just, hey, where people are coming and looking for the news of the day or whatever, let's have a box over to the side that just like, hey, this week's or today's like featured writer or featured community member or whatever, like put more of them on the front page so people see more of them and know they're out there. I mean, how cool would it be if you're, I don't know, let's say a Hispanic player and you come onto the main page and you see somebody that's another Hispanic player being showcased that week. And you can go follow their streams or go read their articles or whatever it is they're doing, you know? I think that'd be pretty sweet.
I like it.
Yeah, it's something.
Put it back.
It's something worth trying. That's all. And then kind of along with supporting other conventions and events, finding, again, and I think if you have people dedicated to this, it's kind of be part of that same group, is finding more regional charities to sponsor. Because I think there are a lot of events, and part of the problem is, and I, okay, I'll be fair to this too, because some backstory. When I was at Wizards, you know, when I worked in the trade marketing team, one of the things we did is there were times where like a store got broke into or a important member of a store's community passed away and they wanted to raise money for their family, or maybe they were going to do a charity fundraiser because one of them got sick and they didn't have enough money or whatever. And they would write to Wizards. And more, I don't think there was a one we denied, actually. I would say more often than not, we sent stuff, a package of things, either prizes or things to give away or whatever, to people to help support those events.
That's awesome.
The problem is a lot of people just don't know that's a thing. Like, I honestly believe Wizard would do their part to support a lot of those, but people just don't know those are things they can even ask for.
I wouldn't have thought to ask about that.
Yeah, exactly. So I think if you have people appointed to do that, it becomes a big... I mean, I remember putting boxes together to send stuff to soldiers overseas because a guy was like, hey, you know, we're stationed over in this place. I've been teaching people to play Magic. We only can get this stuff at the commissary or whatever. I'd like to do something to support these guys that are just getting transferred over. Is there anything you could do? And we're like, sure, we have all these decks. We have this stuff. Here's a box. Run a tournament on us or something, you know. So they'll do it, but I think you'd be amazed how many people don't even know. So I think if you had somebody active and reaching out, that has an even bigger impact that somebody came along and said, oh man, we're going to go out of our way to find you and surprise you and say, hey, let us send you something to help this cause. Because it's always nice to respond to somebody's request, but it's even more awesome when you're proactive.
Definitely.
I mean, think about it in our shoes, right? Like if we went out and we reached out to Wizards or whatever, and we have a back and forth discussion and we negotiate and they decide they want to be a sponsor of the show. Not saying they are, just, you know, if that happened, that would be nice. But if somebody from Wizards just randomly, you know, I had an email in the show box one day and they were just like, hey, we listened to your show. We think what you guys are doing are awesome. We'll do X whatever for this many episodes. Like, that would be amazing.
Hey, last week I asked for a really good card for White Weenie and then bam, I got in the Crow and Hero. So maybe you've spoken it into the universe. So we'll see.
Who knows, man? Who knows? But it's just one of those things. And maybe that's what all of this is about, right? Maybe it's having people appointed within the company. And admittedly, we're talking about Wizards here specifically because so many of our players play Magic, and that's the community we speak to predominantly. But this could apply to several companies.
Definitely.
Just have people that are proactive going out and finding these causes, these schools, these groups, these content creators that you can support, because that's how you start changing your community. That's how you create that bigger acceptance. That's how you build that diversity, is you have to be very forward and very conscious about it when you go do it. Otherwise, just it'll happen otherwise, but it's going to take a lot longer if you're just waiting for them to come to you.
This is true.
And in some cases, they're not going to come to you because they don't know that it's a thing you do. They don't even know if they fit. Because again, we've talked about it on other episodes where some people look and say, oh, well, maybe this is just a crowd that plays that. I'm going to play this other game because there's more people that look like me. But if you step up and say, okay, we're going to go donate something to this event or this cause or this school or whatever, you are saying specifically that you matter to us. Not, yeah, okay, you came to us and asked for help with a thing. We'll gladly help you out. It's, no, we specifically search you or your cause or your thing or your project out, and that matters. Here's an offer.
And everybody likes to be, you know, to feel important, to be reached out to.
It's a big impact, though. I mean, it's
tell you how many things I've covered that I had no intention to go into because somebody called, hey, we'd appreciate it if you could come out and cover this.
And it's just like I'm saying, right? The difference between us going to a company and shooting our shot and them saying, okay, cool, we'll do something for you, versus just them saying, we specifically saw you or heard you or whatever, and we want to give you an offer. Like, those are two completely different things. And the second one feels so much better, so much more important. And the impact that has is huge by comparison. And I know, so even from as small as my business was, like, when people came and were like, hey, we're doing this thing, would you mind donating or helping us set up, or could you do whatever, versus the times I saw a flyer or I heard somebody talking about a thing and I went to them, they were like, whoa, really? You're going to help us out? You know, whatever. And it became a whole different conversation. And they were excited about promoting my store. Like, before, it's like when they have to do all the footwork and we're just a sponsor, well, that's nice, and my name's on a thing or whatever, and it still matters to them. And, you know, and sometimes we got a few more customers. But the times we were more proactive about it, they were jazzed about it, and they told people about it. And we even had people come in that said specifically, oh, well, you know, so-and-so told me you guys came and found them at a show or whatever. I'm like, oh, yeah, we saw their booth, and we thought they were really cool. And, you know, and then now you have a whole other point of engagement other than just, yeah, we pitched in to help out. And you would know better than me on this front. Like, is there anything reasonable that they could probably do to cross-promote with video gamers?
Oh, I believe it's called Child's Play, the charity, you know, that raises money for, like, children's charities. That would be something. If they're not involved with Child's Play already, I'm not familiar with all their, because Child's Play does a whole lot, so definitely a place they can cross over, because again, Magic video games are in the pipeline.
I will say that they do, but I don't know if they've gotten that right yet. The closest they've been was either last year or the year before. I can't remember which one it was, where they had kind of the weekend stream set up and they had some prizes that people could donate to. And then the winning bid got the prize and they got to pick something that happened to the players in the games or whatever. Okay. And that was pretty cool. That was a fun interactive way for things to happen. But I always feel like for some reason, those are either not well promoted or they sort of get buried in the noise. Like, I don't really know what it is.
Ed, when it's somebody's job to make sure it gets promoted, or somebody, or even to somebody that, you know, already works there, has been assigned that specifically, then it helps, you know, grow the thing. Things that could fall through the cracks. Speaking of somebody that's been in several newsrooms, you know, it's sometimes it's just as easy as the press release getting into the right basket on the right person's desk sometimes.
I think that's part of it. You know, the previously, when a lot of the stuff has happened, it's been either, like I said, either somebody sends you a letter or makes a request or whatnot, or somebody who's already doing another job at Wizards decides they want to take over the project. So say with like the Child's Play thing, one or two people decide they want to head it up, whether that's somebody from one of the marketing teams, somebody from R&D, whatever. And then it's just, okay, we're going to do a sign-up sheet and, you know, whatever other employees want to participate. Okay, cool. Then a couple weeks leading up to it, there's some emails and some stuff posted about what to be given away or what we're going to do on stream and kind of the schedule. And they normally do D&D and Magic, which is nice.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like there's maybe even something bigger than just the Child's Play that goes on every year. Like, there's just something. And I wouldn't know. I mean, this is one where I don't do enough I mean, I've run video game tournaments, but like I don't do enough in daily video game space to know what the next good thing would be beyond something like just a nationwide charity thing.
Now, I know there are people, you know, that will take up, like you were talking about with the soldiers, where people will take up collections of video games and drop them off, you know, at children's hospitals and places like that. I don't know if Wizards has anybody that's doing anything like that in either departments. Again, these are things that, you know, any company could possibly do.
Yeah. I mean,
kids are always like, you know, when kids are in a hospital and they just unfortunately can't go anywhere for months or sometimes years at a time, they'd love somebody to bring some Magic starter decks by, or, you know.
Well, see, that's a good one. I didn't even think about that. Like, be one of those people that, again, proactively goes out to maybe some of these children's hospitals or whatever and give stuff away. Because here's an interesting thing. You know, I don't know if I ever told you about this. There's a group called Project Angel Tree that we worked with years ago. And I think they have multiple national branches, but we worked with the one in Texas. And their charity is supporting children whose parents have been incarcerated, which, as we all know, there's a highly disproportionate amount of colored people that have been arrested or incarcerated across the country. Ridiculous incarceration rates in the U.S., high recidivism rates, the whole nine yards, right? So obviously this was a cause that was easy to support.
Yeah.
But one of the reasons they were, again, and this is one that I heard about them, you know, we made something happen, they were excited. But part of the reason was because so many people go to these causes that are for children, and they're always thinking about or donating in ways that take care of kids up to about age 10 or so. Because they're like, oh, well, we'll donate these clothes or stuffed animals or, I don't know, Monopoly games or whatever, right? But there's rarely anything for kids from, say, 12 to 16. And they looked at us and were like, oh, well, you guys want to donate some stuff? And obviously we have like hobby board games and we have trading cards and we have, you know, at the time we have like disc golf and we have all these other things that older kids can appreciate. And that was the first time that it really came to my attention of just like, oh man, I didn't even think this was a problem. Like, I don't even know if I didn't think it was a problem. I just didn't know. Like, but again, when I thought of children's charity.
And I think people just think about, you know, like, you know, infant to 10-year-old a lot of time to think about children's charities.
Yeah, I hadn't even considered that. I literally was just like, okay, we'll donate. And my thought was, okay, I'll think of a spread of things we can donate for kids of different ages, and hopefully they can find appropriate age kids to take care of. But after speaking with them, it changed my perspective entirely. And I was like, okay, I will specifically donate things that are roughly ages like 12 and up, so you guys can have more things to give to those kids, because it's going to be harder to find stuff for them. And maybe this is kind of the same type of hole that somebody like Magic can fill, right? It's not just 8-year-olds that go to these hospitals. It's not, you know, just 8-year-olds that need things. There's a lot of times it's those 12-year-olds that are looking for something as well and are in tough spots, and there's not as many things to give to them. So maybe this is one of those things.
And this is the kind of thing where, you know, you're not just giving a gift. You could be giving somebody a hobby that they're going to have for their entire life.
Yeah. Also, big ups to Project Angel Tree if anybody wants to donate to them. They were really good to work with. On a later episode, I think we're running a little bit longer than normal, but there's a situation I ran to where I actually met somebody whose family was given something through that cause, and it was a very, very cool moment. So they do deliver and do what they're supposed to do, at least. I can speak to the ones I dealt with in Waco, Texas. So but yeah, I think that's going to cover it for this week. I think that was a good talk. I this is one of those things. I think there's a lot of opportunity still. I think, and again, I don't even think it's just Wizards of the Coast. I think multiple companies could do it. But there's a lot of opportunity. If you're trying to reach these other communities, the underprivileged communities, you know, just more diverse communities that haven't really been touched yet, they're still out there. And there's still a lot of access to these groups, but I think the real issue is just being very deliberate and proactive about it. So cool, man. I think that's where we're going to wrap it up for this week. Things to think about. And while we plot our Theros reviews for next week. So yeah, why don't you tell everybody how to find you, brother?
All right. Our family YouTube channel is Alan's Ever After. I am DL Caesar on Twitch, YouTube, and Twitter.
And as usual, I am Power Dragon, PowerDragn. You can find me now. I believe it's going to be day 54 of 60. So we're coming up toward the end there over on
the machine.
Yeah, over on Twitch. And you can also follow me over on Twitter and YouTube if you just want to see some other conversational stuff, follow some cool magic conversations, and I'll be putting some good review videos after our 60-day challenge is done. So lots of good things over there. Again, check out our TCG Player affiliate link, check out our Patreon, and be sure to check us out next week when we're going to tackle Theros.
We are going beyond death.
So for now, wherever you're listening from, whenever you're listening, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or good night, whatever's appropriate for you. If you have a chance, please check us out on Patreon at patreon.com/colorofmagic. You can also find us on Facebook at Color of Magic. We're also over on Twitter and Twitch at Color of MTG. And we have a website you can check out, colorofmtg.com. Please share our episode with your friends and help us grow our base. As always, every little bit helps, and we appreciate your support.